Todd Furman joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Bet the Board podcast, FS1, lock it in every day. Todd, it is a championship week, but I'm dying to know, do you feel like we do, that if LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State all lost this week, they'd all still be in the playoffs?
Well, I think Ohio State and LSU, given the strength of their resumes and going through the wins that they've compiled in the Big Ten and SEC respectively, I think those two teams are in. If I'm Clemson, though, and I'm looking up and down the first 12 games I've played so far this season, where I've been a favorite in by 15.5 points or more in all 12 games and a favorite of 24.5 or more in 11 of those 12 games, I'm not sure Clemson has the wiggle room where they could drop a game and still be included in the college football playoff. Fortunately for them, I think they'll take care of business against Virginia. So those three teams appear to be in. That's where things start to get a little bit more questionable as far as which team will ultimately end up with that fourth spot.
Let's start with the Big 12 championship. And I backed Oklahoma this past week, and they got home against Oklahoma State in Bedlam. And, you know, I'm a contrarian. And Oklahoma laying the 9 here, people are going to play Baylor. But I said this a few weeks ago, Baylor just seems like a team that can't get blown out.
Well, it's tricky because you look at the game where these two teams played earlier this season, and it was a tale of two halves. Baylor, of course, going out, taking care of business early on, and then not being able to move the football whatsoever in the second half against Oklahoma. And the Sooners closed a 10.5-point favorite on the road in Waco. Now we're shifting venues. We're moving to a neutral field, so to speak, in Dallas, where Oklahoma fans will come out in droves. Baylor just doesn't have that fan base, and you're looking at the Sooners now a 7.5 to 8-point favorite. So by that token alone, you have a good amount of line value there. And then you look at the way Oklahoma has kind of changed their offense over the last couple of weeks. This was a team that was pretty balanced early on in the season between the run and the pass. But in their final two regular season games, they've run it 108 times and only thrown it 38 times, almost reminiscent of Jalen Hurts running that Alabama offense. I think a lot of that is by design. CeeDee Lamb only 6 catches for 52 yards the last two games. He, of course, missed that first game against Baylor. Just get the feeling that this Baylor team is starting to get worn down a little bit, and if they're forced to play from behind, if Oklahoma protects the football, this game could get ugly in a hurry. Would not be surprised at all if Oklahoma makes a statement and wins this game by 2 touchdowns plus.
Todd Furman with us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. He is the former odds maker at Caesars Palace, at Todd Furman on Twitter, and you can see him bettheboardpodcast.com and also FS1 every single day at 3:30 with Lock It In. There is a perception in parts of this studio that Utah is a much better team than Oregon. They are favored 6.5 in this game. Do you share that perception?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go much better. I think Oregon's a team that's kind of underachieved late in the season. Their offense has been much more erratic than what we've seen from the Utes. And we can't take anything away from Kyle Whittingham's team, who's been outstanding both on the offensive and defensive line of scrimmage and employing their physical brand of football. This is a team that's outscored its opponents 193-61 in the second half of this season, and their average margin of victory over the last 8 games has left no shadow of a doubt how dominant they've been when you consider they've done that by 4 touchdowns plus. But Oregon's a team that for the first time maybe in a long time can test that Utah secondary. And when we see Utah's only weakness on the defensive side, it's slightly smaller cornerbacks, the area where USC exploited that fateful Friday night in September. I'm on board with this number being fair, given how the public is going to bet this game. I actually made it 5.5, so don't see a lot of wiggle room there. But the total, I think, is the more attractive angle. The problem being is this number opened 51. It's already down to 47 in some spots. You could have some weather at Levi Stadium. And if Oregon is going to be successful here, it's got to be that defense to step up and regain some of the form we saw early in the year, because I don't think the Ducks can score more than 17 to 21 points here.
Todd Furman, ahead of championship week here on the Jocks Roundtable, Georgia and LSU for the SEC championship. DeAndre Swift's injury, banged up is how Kirby Smart's describing him, but expects to have him in the lineup. I really like Brian Harrion and Zamir White. Does the Swift injury move Georgia in your mind at all?
The Swift injury doesn't concern me, as ridiculous as that sounds, as much as the Georgia concerns at wide receiver. We were going to be down George Pickens in the first half for that foolish act against Georgia Tech to close out the regular season. We know Lawrence Cager underwent surgery, so he won't be out there. You're talking about entering a game against the SEC's most prolific offense on the Georgia side without a receiver that has more than 300 yards receiving. And when you look at Jake Fromm, I know he's been on this stage before, 5 touchdown passes, no interceptions in SEC championship play. He's got to be better and more efficient with his completion percentage, where he's been below 50% the last couple of games. Because if Georgia gets behind, I'm not sure if they'll have enough offense to keep up with an LSU team that's seen Joe Burrow, obviously has the inside track for the Heisman Trophy, has shown plenty of balance behind Edwards-Helaire, but I think the LSU defense is ripe for the picking. It's all about Georgia playing ball control and trying to shorten this game. If you think Georgia's this side, I'd make a case for going under the total at 55 because I think there's a definite correlation between the two.
CUSA Championship, Florida Atlantic has won all nine of their games by double digits. Now they're laying 7.5, but on the other side, all UAB does is cover. What gives here?
Well, I think it's a question, again, does UAB have enough offense behind Dylan Hopkins to try and get them to the window? I don't know if they're going to be able to win this game outright, and haven't seen a whole lot of movement on this number. 7.5 is where it opened, 7.5 is where it currently sits at Fox Bet, and the total's held pretty steady at 50. I think the Blazers have to lean on their defense. We've seen how good they've been against the run, especially over the last three games where no opponent has gone over the century mark. They've held all those opponents to 21 points or less. And you mentioned how good UAB has been at the betting window. Guys, over the last three seasons, I know they're 19-5 straight up, or the last two, excuse me, 17-6-1 against the number. Their last 24 games against conference opponents, they're 18-6 against the spread. But FAU, no slouch in that department either, going 17-8 against the number. I think this is kind of where rubber meets the road, and the Owls have too much firepower. I think they ultimately win this game by double digits, unfortunately.
Todd Furman with us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. We've seen Ohio State and Wisconsin. Why would I think it would be any different than what we saw in Columbus?
Well, if you believe that Wisconsin can reinvent themselves a little bit and show some of that creativity in this game that we saw on full display against Minnesota that they needed to wrap up the Big Ten West, then there's reason to believe that the Badgers can keep this game a little bit more competitive than the first meeting. Again, a similar scenario that we're seeing here where the number is a little bit more inflated despite the fact that Ohio State closed right around a 2-touchdown favorite on their own field. You're seeing them lay significantly more here. This number actually opened as high as 18 in some spots. It's trickled down to 16, and you've seen significant over money as well from 52 on the open out to 56. Jack Cohen did lead the Big Ten in completion percentage, but I think that's easier to do when you're only throwing the ball 2 or 3 yards downfield. You look at Ohio State, I think they have to believe that they've already secured passage to the college football playoff. So maybe you get a more desperate team in Wisconsin that throws caution to the wind. Ultimately, I don't really want to make a case for either side here, but I do think if Wisconsin is going to keep this game close, over makes an awful lot of sense here because we know the Buckeyes are going to get theirs.
We've seen this a couple of times, including UCLA and Stanford back in the day, where you play somebody one week and play them the very next week in the conference championship. But this is Cincinnati at Memphis, back at Memphis again. UAB and Middle Tennessee did this last year. I'll ask the same question Brown did. Why is it going to be any different this week? Should I not just play Memphis?
Well, I think the big question here is, can Memphis do enough to get you to the window easily here? Last weekend against Cincinnati, I was on the wrong side of that. I laid 7 early with Memphis, watched that number balloon to 14, and realized after the first couple of drives, Memphis didn't show a heck of a lot of their playbook. There wasn't that aspiration to really blow out Cincinnati and demoralize them, because they kind of took their foot off the gas. Reason to believe that Cincinnati will go back to their season-long starting quarterback here in Desmond Ridder, away from a freshman who actually gave them a little bit more of a passing attack. I think this game has the chance for Memphis to blow out Cincinnati more so than last week does. And when you look at the 5.5-point adjustment odds makers have made in this number, I'm actually of that same mindset. I think that Memphis goes out there, they play with the hurry up, we see Coach Norvell really opening up the playbook, Brady White has a big day, and that Memphis defense that created so many tackles for loss will actually have a little bit more success here. I do like the Tigers, and I think they finally beat this team by 2 touchdowns.
Todd, I referenced your tweet from last night that Clemson has been favored in every game by 15.5 or more. They've been 24.5 or more in 11 to 12 of those games. Now they're laying 28.5 against a Virginia team that is 9-3 and has won 4 consecutive games, and they're scoring a lot of points with Bryce Perkins. It's almost impossible to get any value out of Clemson, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think the odds makers have finally caught up to Clemson. So if you've bet them blindly over the back half of their ACC schedule, you've really reaped the benefits of that when everyone was talking a doom and gloom prognosis, maybe myself included, when they slipped by North Carolina by a single point. Over their final 6 games, they've outscored conference opponents 315-58. And when you look at Virginia's defense, they've struggled a bit down the stretch. Since losing Bryce Hall, they've really lacked that man-to-man coverage they played in the secondary. And Virginia gave up 116 points in 4 November games. Clemson allowed 121 points, guys, all season long. And when you look at the way this Tigers offense is working, whether it's handing the ball off to Travis Etienne or getting the ball to T. Higgins or Justin Ross in the passing game, I'm just not sure Virginia has the firepower offensively, because if Bryce Perkins isn't going for 300 yards passing and 100 plus on the ground, they don't have an alternative pitch they can turn to. Virginia may keep this game competitive early, but ultimately I think the Clemson freight train stays on the track, and it's a lay it or don't play it type scenario with the best team in the ACC by a landslide.
All right, he is Todd Furman, BetTheBoardPodcast.com. Also, you can see him on Lock It In, FS1 every single day at 3:30. Follow him on Twitter at Todd Furman. Furman, thanks a lot. Enjoy Championship Saturday.
Thanks, guys. You do the same.
All right, man. Take care. Technically, Championship Friday as well with Utah and Oregon.